Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a new scientist article from the 17th of August entitled Chiller Bees by Ben Turner. Why did the super aggressive killer bees of Hollywood fame suddenly chill out on one tropical island? This is, I find, a bit rather interesting. So the article interests me a bit. And there's, just after a decade on Puerto Rico, killer bees like this has lost their famed aggression. Stepping out of the house on to survey the destruction, Hermes Cons felt like he had been transported to another world. It was as if an atomic bomb had hit. Nothing was standing, he says. I couldn't recognise the landscape around my own house. This was September 21st, 2017, and Hurricane Maria had just torn Puerto Rico to shreds. An estimated 2,975 people died in the worst natural disaster in the Caribbean island has ever witnessed. From the early hours of 20th September through to mid-afternoon the next day, Maria bisected Puerto Rico like a 100-kilometre-wide buzzsaw. It plucked up trees and hurled roofs and homes like frisbees. And pounding rain sent flash floods metres deep rushing into populated areas. Drowned trees, power lines blocked the roads, electricity and water supplies were cut off for months after the storm. Condi's first priority was to get petrol for his generator. It would take him 23 hours on foot, but fuel wasn't the only thing that he was looking for. Condi, a beekeeper, and a long way he trapped into a network of fellow apiarists trying to discover the fate of their insects. The situation looked bleak. Hurricane Maria had almost annihilated Puerto Rico's bees, but Condi was determined to rescue the survivors. It may sound like a strange mission in the middle of such chaos, but these are no ordinary bees. They are among the most incredible insects in modern evolutionary history. In just a decade, they have become mysteriously transformed from killers into docile honeymakers. They may even hold secrets that will help us breed disease-resistant bees in the future. The story begins in Brazil in 1956 with a local geneticist called Warwick Kerr. Honeybees aren't native to the Americas, and at the time, South American nation relies on imported European bees, Apis mellifera. The tropical heat, however, made them sluggish. Monks kept them to provide beeswax for church candles, but European bees were becoming increasingly unable to meet Brazil's demand for honey and crop pollination. So Kerr travelled to Tanzania to acquire some East African lowland bee queens for breeding program. This subspecies, Apis mellifera subtella, is notoriously aggressive. But he hoped that they, crossing them with the European bee customs, would create a hybrid with docility of honey, yet yield of honeybees and the resistance to disease and heat of the African one. It would just take a little time. He hadn't planned for his prototypes to escape, but that's exactly what had happened the following year. Fleeing into the rainforest, the hybrids interbred with local honeybees, soon becoming dominant first in Brazil and across the Americas. News of the bees' advance was intermingled with tales of their legendary aggression. The truth didn't need much embellishment. When European bees are provoked, about 10% of the hive members will attack. But this hybrid bee often retaliates en masse, emptying the hive swarms up to 800,000 individuals. They'll give chase to up to 0.5 kilometre and are content to wait it out if their target attempts to hide underwater, continuing to barrage stings when the victim surfaces for air. Oh my god, father. Some people have died in such attacks, not because the bee's venom is particularly potent, but due to the sheer number of stings. Hollywood crashed in on people's fear with a string of horrifying movies, films like The Swarm, Killer Bees, The Deadly Invasion. The killer bee nightmare mythologizes the insects, which began to spread across the southern US in the 1990s. By this time, killer bees had taken root in 20 countries and on two continents. Then, at the height of their infamy, a queen stowed away on a board of ship in Texas she was bound for Puerto Rico. Harbor bees were first recorded on the eastern side of the island in 1994. From the start, they were just as quick to interbreed with local bees as they had been on the mainland, and just as aggressive. Records reveal 4 deaths, including a 2-year-old boy, in the first 3 years. And the authorities were quick to respond to emergency calls resulted in the fire service spraying more than 2,000 hives with soapy solution that asphyxiated the inhabitants. Then, in September 1998, Hurricane George hit the island, sending bees' numbers plummeting. During the post-George's recovery, Torrigal Gray at the University of Puerto Rico got involved. He was keen to compare the island's bees with those in Hawaii, which are purely European origin. The weird thing is that they were going up the trees expecting some kind of fight on our hands. He says, "We wanted to collect the baddest bees, but they were really just as sweet as can be." This was an exception. Gray kept finding docile hive after hive everywhere he looked. Wondering whether the insects might be remnants of the island's European bees, he decided to carry out some genetic tests. Even the nicest colonies turned out to be mixed African and European descent. It was a total surprise. It took a few years, but bee numbers eventually rounded to their pre-George's levels. Bee attacks, however, did not. These had dropped from 10,000 a year to 600. Greer's Brefham grew. We tried to scientifically... That just makes me just laugh. Good on you, scientists. Measure their aggressiveness by kicking the hive and throwing a brick at it. Some of them had zero response. They didn't want to sting at all. The insects looked like harbor bees, but they didn't act like them. Gray was forced to conclude that sometime during the decade since their arrival, the once vicious killer bees have evolved into bees for docile as their European cousins. Nietzsche had finished what Kerr had started. What was most mysterious force driving this transformation? Gray's first thought was that it had something to do with habitat. Islands tend to be fewer predators than the mainland, but the challenge of the island living is to get by with scarce, seasonal available resources. As a result, species often adapt to focus energy efficiency, ensuring they have calories for leaner times, making them fat and docile. The turkey-sized dodo, for example, evolved from a small airborne pigeon that arrived in Mauritius. This harsh seasonality could have a similar effect on Puerto Rico's bees, forcing them to forage and pick their battles. Hurricanes would have played a part too, killing off all but the most skillful hoarders. But there's other possible explanations. Gray's collaborator, Arian Arbos, now the US Department of Agriculture, suggested that the bees' rapid evolution might be connected with the islands having the highest human population density of anywhere in the Harvard honeybee range. This could have led to unwittingly human selection because people regularly encountered hives and those containing the most aggressive bees were systematically destroyed, leaving only the calmer ones to repopulate the isolated island. Disease-resistant bees. The likelihood is that all these factors played a part. What is truly amazing is that the bees have evolved incredibly rapidly, yet have retained an enormous amount of genetic variation even though their numbers have crashed on several occasions. The result is a remarkable creature that isn't just docile, but resistant to disease and good for producing honey. There you go. Good on ya. You think you want to cross those bees in. No wonder Puerto Rico's bee campers have taken the insect to their hearts. And nobody more than Conde, a lifelong apiarist, following the tradition of his grandmother. He was also a police captain in the 1990s. He was there when the emergency services were being called to exterminate killer bees, and he was torn up by their fate. So, after retiring in 2011, he established the Eastern Apicultural Academy. Rather than teaching people about honey production, its sole aim was to protect Puerto Rico's hybrid bees. This explains Conde's activities weeks after the Hurricane Maria. An estimated 90% of the island bees were dead. The remainder needed help fast. The bees had lost so many of their homes and were so hungry, and we were finding them everywhere. Bins, drink cans, post boxes, dogs' houses, dolls' houses, abandoned homes, with Gary's assistance. Condi and 30 volunteers worked in shifts around the clock to move colonies to safety. The most difficult were those hanging from electrical cables. But fortunately, I'm a helicopter pilot, said Condi's. In total, they rescued 65 hives. This brush with fate has brought Portuguese bees to the attention of the US beekeepers, whose own hives of European bees have been devastated by a phenomenon called colony collapse disorder. The hybrids appear to spend far longer grooming themselves than the European bees, making them twice as likely to dodge the avolumite, a parasite which carries the various pathogens and affects the colony collapse. As a result, some see Portuguese bees as a silver bullet that can solve a problem that plagued beekeepers in the US and elsewhere for a decade. The prospect of importing bees is promising, says Avaros, but may not be a solution. The bees' ability is remarkable, but colony collapse emerged from poor nutrition, pesticides, pests and pathogens. They can handle one of these, but we don't know how they will handle the others. You can adapt to higher water levels, but you're not going to go grills, says other entomologists share his observations. They include Maria Spivak, the University of Minnesota, who is breeding varieties of honeybees that are better able to detect and remove pathogens and mites. She thinks Puerto Rico bees would struggle to cope with the intensive agricultural systems, greater urbanizations, and high concentration of mites in the US. What makes the Puerto Rico story amazing is how they found such a great way of working with the bees, she says. The same solution wouldn't work everywhere. We want multiple great solutions for multiple places. Even so, these extraordinary bees will be vital in the future battle to strengthen global bee populations. The next step is to use recent discoveries about how their genome differs from their African European ancestors to isolate the genes responsible for aggression and mite resistance. That work is already underway, and the researchers are very excited at the possibility of uncovering the complex genetics underpinning the bees' rapid evolution. By triangulating among African, European and Puerto Rican bees, we could uncover the genetic variants responsible for docility and disease resistance, says geneticist Gene Robinson. I like that. A geneticist named Gene, University of Illinois Urbana and Champaign, who, along with his colleagues Matt Hudson, is collaborating with Avos and Geary. Their work would prove an enormous boon to beekeepers hoping to use genetics to create more resilient bees. Who knows what the next chapter of this story will be, but with the protagonist is the insect that is transformed from a killer into a potential saviour. In the blink of an evolutionary eye, anything seems possible. Beautifully put together article. It's got me in. The killer that changed its stripes is a sub-theme. Social insects such as ants and many bees and wasp species are a remarkable ability to rapidly adapt to changing environments. In Puerto Rico, honeybees evolved from being highly aggressive killers to gentle foragers in just a decade. This rate of change seems extraordinary, given the recent realization that evolution can happen surprisingly quickly. It is easy to see how bacterium, reproducing every 20 minutes or so, can evolve immunity to a drug. But the generation time of bees is far longer. Worker honeybees live for around a month. Drones survive for 5 to 10 weeks, and the queen can make it for 2 or 3 years or more. So rapid reproduction isn't the key that's allowed Puerto Rico bees to evolve so quickly. In part, it is the fact that when bees produce eggs and sperm, their genes are more thoroughly shuffled than other species, and the mutation rate is very high. This is true. They just repeat themselves. I think you have 3 or 4 fathers in an egg. It's just amazing. This creates lots of different genetic combinations, increasing potential to produce highly variable offsprings available to survive a variety of environments. Now, this sounds like a winning formula. There are some reasons most animals don't adopt it. Mutations are more often harmful than helpful. When so many occur during the production of sex cells, there's a risk of losing vital bits of genetic information and ultimately the entire species. But bees and some other colonial insects have trump cards to get around this problem, the haploid sex system. It works like this. Male drones developed unfertilized eggs, and they have only one pair of chromosomes. Wow. Ah, okay. The queen is the only fertile female in the colony and mates with 12 to 20 females that produce the hive's population. Because drones only have one pair of her chromosomes, any harmful mutations that arrive have no alternative versions of the genes to counteract the bad ones. So if one of the hive's lines doesn't mutate too far, the drones it produces will die and be unable to mate, removing the line from the gene pool. Oh, it's sort of like it's like road testing a bad gene. Huh. Oh, so if you've got a bad gene, that oh, it's beautiful. I've got to really think about that. This combination of haploidity and high mutation rates creates enormous genetic diversity in colonial insects. It is that allows a colony to respond rapidly and with nuance to subtle alterations in the environment, as if it was a single organism. In Puerto Rico, the environment seems to have favoured active foragers over aggressive individuals, and the drive to change was so strong that it happened in a few years. Yet despite such remarkable adaptability, the bees and other colonial insects are declining in numbers worldwide. Mary, I spoke at the University of Minnesota, sees this as an indictment of the environmental conditions humans are imposing on them. The fact they're struggling right now really shows that they're being pushed to or beyond their tipping point, she says. Interesting article.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.